in prayer and pray for in a minute. And Mark chapter 4, and we're going to talk about the prophet, the priest, and the king of miracles. Amen? Mark chapter 4 is where we'll be. We'll start out there, and then we'll go to Mark 2 and Mark 1 as well. So we'll start out in Mark chapter 4, and we'll see what the Lord has to say to our hearts today. Go with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, again, we pause for a moment, Lord, to pray for Emery, Lord, that you would just continue to bless her and God give her the right chemical balances in her body, Lord, to take care of her. And God, that you just bless mom and dad and aunts and all that's back there with her, Lord, and the nurses and the volunteers that we have, and first responders. And God, you just be with her, the Lord. And as we are talking today about the prophet, the priest, and the king, and God, about the miracles you perform. And God, we know that you're a God in control, and there is nothing, Lord, that you can't take care of. And God, so we place in your hands. We ask for a complete healing to be about our body, Lord. And God, as we come to this part of the service to open up your word, God, I pray a special anointing of the reading of your word. God, your word is special. God, your word is anointing. And God, we just pray that you bless it to go forward this morning, that you'll bless it to accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you. That God, that you would, we won't be the same as what we walked in here as. God, that we'll be refreshed, renewed, and excited about being in your house, Lord. That we'll be challenged through your word, God, to live a more godly life for you, the Lord. And God, that I pray that your word would convict us where we need convicting. God, that it'll change us where we need changed. And God, that it'll save where it needs to be saved, the Lord. And God, we're just going to thank you for what you're going to do. God, we pray that you defeat the devil, bind him up in any opposition, the Lord. And God, let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God continue to have freedom to move and work in our lives. And God, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing in the church, the Lord. Thank you for Taylor, the Lord, and being baptized. And God, just the work that you're doing in the family. And God, we love you and we thank you. Again, God, I pray that you hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Use us today to deliver and to preach your word, God, and may it be pleasing and honoring to you, everything that's said and done that goes on this campus. God, we love you, we praise you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. The first one we want to look at is Mark 4. Mark 4, look at verses 35 through 41. And talking about Jesus performs miracles as a prophet. There's nobody that's ever been around, nobody that has came that has done what Jesus has done, that is in control and that has the power and the authority that he has. And you're going to see that throughout the scriptures that we're going to talk about today, that Jesus is power and authority. There is no other that's ever came before or after him that exhibits or demonstrates the power that Christ has. And I want you to look at that with me as we look at chapter 4 and read verses 35 through 41. Jesus performs miracles as a prophet. Look at it with me in verse 35 and following. It said, in the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, in the stern part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, teacher, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceeding, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, I look back at that, and I look back at these verses of Scripture, and read and see here, we see that Jesus is performing this miracle as a prophet. And you see, as he goes through, he begins to teach to them. They was walking along the seas and teaching them parables to them, and Jesus begins to teach as one that with authority, and he's teaching to them. And then he says, it's time that I must go to the other side. Let's board this ship, and let's go. Let's go over on the other side, and Jesus gets them in there, and the multitude, and they set away the multitude, and they took him even as he was in the ship, and there also with him to the other little ships, and said, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full or beginning to take on water. I wonder how many times in our lives as well that we are involved. These disciples were just with Jesus. They just heard his teachings. They were praising the Lord and things of that nature, and then they set out on a sail and a journey with Jesus to go to the other side. And no sooner they got in there and were passing by, no sooner than Jesus entered into the stern of the ship or the bow of the ship, here come a great storm up. Here come a storm that was raging, just as happened a while ago, right? A great storm. Here we are praising the Lord. Here we are, a family excited about baptism, being together, and here to learn about the Lord and praise him and be a part of the family. And then here comes a storm raging in our lives. How many times has that happened in your lives and my lives? How many times have we been a part of our service or been a part of the church or been a part of teaching of God's word, and then all of a sudden a storm hits? You know, and it hit them. It was a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship, and now it was taking on water. So many times we've been part of that and been in those arenas, and I think sometimes that those waves and those storms come up in our life, and sometimes it feels like you only got one nostril of your nose hole open that you can breathe out of the water. You ever been there? Where it feels like there's just right, the water is right up to your nose line and already covering half the other side, and you got one nose hole to breathe out of. You ever felt there? I think a lot of us have been there and been in that place that we have been in and felt like, man, I can't make it. I'm about to drown in here. The storms are raging. The wind is blowing. But my friend, listen to me. I know the man that's in control of the storm. I know the one that can calm the storm. I know the one that can calm the wind. I know the one that can calm the waves, my friend. And his name is Jesus. Oh, listen to me. The disciples knew that as well. All they had to do was exercise a little faith and call upon him and call upon the name of the Lord and call upon him in that time of storm to ask him for the storm to cease in their life, to cease on what was going on. Oh, but my friend, they knew Jesus was in the stern. But what do? They go down. They wake him up and say, Master. They say, Teacher, carest not that thou perish? Carest not that we die in here or perish? He says in verse 38. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. My friend, listen to me. That's the same God that we serve today. He is God, and he changes not. In Malachi, in the Hebrews, he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. My friend, he's right there with us. And I want you to understand, in the middle of a storm, it doesn't matter how the storm is raging. It doesn't matter how boisterous the wind is or how deep or how tall the waves are. Jesus is in control. My friend, turn it over to him. Give it to him and let him be the one that can calm it. My friend, he's the one that can stretch out his hands. He can one with a voice that can say, Peace be still. My friend, as we've seen here, that even the wind and the waves obeyed. Look at verse 40. He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? Has it that you have no faith? And they feared him exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Oh, my friend, when I think about that, and I think about our life, and I think about what we go through in life, and I think about what this storm just did and how Jesus quieted that storm and how he said, Peace be still, and brought a calm into a situation. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you're going through. If you trust in the Lord, he can bring a calm to any situation. If you trust in God, he can bring a calm in your life, regardless of what kind of storm is raging, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you're feeling. My friend, listen, if you turn it over to God, he can bring a peace into your life. He can calm the storm in your life regardless of what's going on. As he said, Peace be still. And you've seen that it calmed. There was a great calm. The wind ceased in verse 39, and there was a great calm. And he looked at his disciples and said, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I think of 2 Timothy 1:7, where God's speaking in there in Timothy, and he says, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Listen to me. I want you to understand. It doesn't matter, as I said, the storm that you're going through. God wants to take care of you. He wants to give you power. He wants to give you love. And He wants to give you a sound mind that you can understand regardless of what it is you're facing. God's in control. God wants to bring about peace in your life and my life if we just turn it over to Him. Oh, listen, here we see Jesus performing the miracles as a prophet of God. There are many prophets that's come before Him, but I can tell you there's none that's been as powerful as Him. There's none that's the King of Kings, none that's the Lord of Lords, no other than Jesus Himself, my friend, can do this. Even as I said, the winds obey Him. Oh, listen to me. How do we do in that arena? All the winds and the sea and everything obey the Lord. What do we do in our lives? What do we do with the Lord? How do we do when it comes to obeying God's word? What are we lining up at when it comes to hearing a sermon of the Lord's message presented? How do we deal with that when it comes to Sunday school lessons or daily devotions or whatever, and God begins to speak in our life? Do we obey His word? Do we obey what He is telling us and that He's desiring for us to do? Oh, so many times, my friend, we, like the disciples, are fearful. He might be saying, I want to call you into ministry. He might be saying, I want to make you a missionary. He might be saying, I want to make you a worship leader. And that fear comes all over. Listen, I've been there. Fearful thing. But listen to me. When God is in it, my friend, He'll take care of the fear. When God is in it, He'll bring about a peace and calm in your life. And let me tell you something. If God is desiring for you to do something and you keep saying no, He has a way of getting your attention as well. Getting your attention, my friend, because He wants to use you in a great and mighty way in working for His ministry. He wants to use you and I today. Not only that, not only does Jesus perform miracles as a prophet, as we've seen in Mark 4, but also Jesus performs miracles as a priest. Look at Mark 2. Look at Mark 2 with me in verses 1 through 12. One of my favorite passages of Scripture of all times. One of my favorite subjects and topics to preach on, my friend, is looking at this with me in Mark 2 and verses 1 through 12. He says this, and again he entered into Capernaum, and some days it was noise that Jesus was in the house. Oh, my friend, listen to me. It don't get no better than that. Then Jesus is in the house, and if you've invited Jesus into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior, your body is the house of the temple of God. Jesus is in the house. It says it was noised around that Jesus was in the house. When I think about that, my friends, and I think about all that we've went through and all that this country is facing and the shape that this world is getting in, when I think about that, I think about, wouldn't it be amazing today for every church in the county, the state, and across the world today, wouldn't it be good that those that were outside the church, my friends, seen the church house is packed and filled with people and the noise got out that Jesus was in the house. That Jesus was in the house. Wouldn't it be amazing today what kind of revival would break out in the world today, my friend, if Jesus was in the house? And there's no reason why Jesus shouldn't be in the house. Amen? If we serve Him in spirit and in truth, there's no reason why Jesus shouldn't be welcome in the house. Oh, listen, and feel His presence. He goes on to say, and straightway, many were gathered together, inasmuch as there were no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, as He preached the word unto them. My friend, wouldn't it be amazing that we come to church in the parking lots and everything was full. You couldn't house another person in there. Open the windows and the doors and everything, and they couldn't even fit in, my friend, because people were desirous to serve the Lord, because people were desirous to have a relationship with Him, because people were desirous for God to impact their lives. Lives, my friend, and it was so packed across the world today and every church today. And my friend, there's no reason why it shouldn't be. Amen. If Jesus is Lord of our life, my friend, and He's number one in our life, and we put Him first in everything we say and do, there's no reason why we can't have an impact on the world and society we're living in today. Oh, the world and society has plenty of impact on people today. But my friend, we as Christians, my friend, need to have an impact in society today. In society today, and do what God's called us to do. It said in verse 3, it said, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was borne by four. And when they could not come nigh unto him, for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick and the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw what? When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick and the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, now reasoning in their hearts, My friend, why do this man thus speak blaspheming? Who can forgive sin but God only? If they only knew, if the critics only knew, my friend, that he was the God indeed. If they only knew that he was the one that had the power to forgive sins, maybe they would have thought about what they said before it came out, my friends. He was the one that had the ultimate authority and power to forgive sins. Oh, and he goes on in verse 8 and says, And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick and the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, and say to the sick and palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed and walk, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, inasmuch as they were all amazed and glorifying God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion before. My friend, listen to me. When God is in control and when Jesus does something, my friend, you're right, you will never see it on that way again, because it's God in control. It's Jesus that's doing it. And my friend, sometimes it's hard for man to explain because man ain't in control of what God is doing. Amen? He's not in control. Oh, we want to be in control of everything and what God is doing, but my friend, God has a way of humbling us and a way for us to realize that He is the King of Kings, He is the Lord of Lords, and it's Him that is in control of everything. Oh, listen to me. When I see this, as again, I see as it said, there was noise. It was noise abroad that Jesus was in the house. My friend, that's exciting to me. And listen, when Jesus saved me, I've never got over it. He changed my life. He changed my heart. He gave me excitement to live for Him, my friend, and it's something that we need to share with others that we come in contact with. It needs to be noise that Jesus is in the house. We preach the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God, my friend. And my friend, we need to spread that. Oh, it's so exciting. As I look back, they were so excited about being around Jesus that the place was filled. Here was four men that were willing to work together as a team to bring their sick friend to Jesus. And they wouldn't let a crowd stop them, my friends. They went to extreme measures to make sure that their friend got to Jesus. What about you and me? What kind of measures do we take to make sure our loved ones come to Christ? What kind of measures do we take to make sure that our co-workers come to Christ? What kind of measures do we take to make sure our friends of the family come to Christ? What do we do? Oh, my friend, here's these folks. They made extreme measures. When they couldn't get in the door, they went on the roof and they opened up the roof, my friend, and let him down, because they knew if they could just get him to Jesus, everything was going to be okay. And they went to extreme measures. My friend, what about us? What about us? My friend, how do we take our loved ones, our friends, our family, our co-workers, our neighbors? My friend, listen to me. Listen to me. Sin in their life is not the person, my friends. If we can get them to Jesus, He will take care of the rest. What about it? What about reaching out to them? What about grabbing somebody? What about going through extreme measures and say, whatever it takes, if you will come with me, I see that you get there. Oh, and allowing that to impact their life. What about if we took those characteristics on that we wanted to work as a team, took those characteristics on as like these four men did to get a friend to Jesus? Oh, listen to me. Can you imagine every church across America today? It would be filled. It would be overflowing. They couldn't get in there. There wouldn't be room for them. And my friend, extreme measures might have to be taken. A crane might have to come in and pop the top off the roof. Amen. Oh, listen to me. If that's what God wants, then bring the crane on. Amen. Pop it off the roof. Let's get busy about what the Lord's work is. Oh, when Jesus saw these four that worked together as a team and he saw their faith, my friend, their faith is what extended Jesus' healing hand and forgave the man of his sin and healed him of his diseases of paralysis. Oh, listen to me, my friend. Jesus' hand is not shortened or slacked when it comes concerning you and me. He says that he would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Oh, listen, how are we doing? Jesus performs these miracles as a priest. Many priests have come before him, but my friend, none was perfect and complete like Christ. None was perfect in him. None had the immaculate love that God has and that God exhibited. None has that. None grants grace as God did to the sinners that can save us and keep us from dying and going to hell. What about it, my friend? Amazing grace, saving grace, amazing compassion, amazing love, agape love that only the Father has, that he gave us his Son. My friend, no other has ever done what Christ has done for you and me. Oh, not only that, when I see this, number three, I see Jesus performs miracles as a king. I see Jesus performing miracles as a king. And when I think about that, I thought about Mark chapter 1. I thought about verses 21 through 28, where he says this. He says, and they went up to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the reign in the region around about Galilee. Oh, when I think about that, and I think about Jesus, not only was he a prophet, my friend, not only did he have the amazing ability that when the storms raged in lives, my friend, he says, peace be still, and brings about a calm. I don't know what it is that's raging in your life. I don't know what it is that you might be going through. But my friend, let me tell you something. Jesus has the power to bring calmness in your life. Whatever the storms that are raging in your life, whatever you feel that the wind is about to overtake you or the water is about to be too deep and drown you, my friend, you need to understand Jesus can bring about a calm in your life. You give it to him, take it to him. My friend, there's never been a man to come about that can perform what Jesus did. Oh, listen to me. As a priest, my friend, he came, and as a, my friend, they entered out, and you see God begin to bless in the situation in Mark 2, and it was noise that Jesus was in the house. Jesus was in the house. That just does something for me. I don't know, man, about make me want to turn into a Pentecostal fit around here. When I think about Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. Do you realize that? And it was noised abroad. And I think of myself, you know, if the churches across America today, if Jesus was in the house and he changed their hearts and minds, listen to me. When I think about Jesus in the house, when I think about that and he shows up at all the churches across America today, and he shows up there, would he be happy about who's in the house? Would he be happy about the attendance in his house? Would he be happy about the worship we give him? Would he be happy about the praise we offer him? Would he be happy about how we read his word? Would he be happy about the things we do? You need to understand, as a child of God, Jesus lives in the house. Amen. Jesus lives in the house. He lives in your heart. Is he pleased with what we're doing? Jesus lives in the house. These four men work together as a team to bring their friend to Jesus so that Jesus could heal him. They knew if they could just get him to the Lord, that everything would be all right. My friend, if you could just get him to the Lord, everything would be all right. How are we doing in getting them? How are we doing in getting them? Are we reaching out? Are we grabbing them? Are we loving them? Loving on them and telling them, listen, Jesus loves you. Listen, I know there's a storm raging in your life, but understand, I know the man that can calm the storm. I know the one that can take care of it. Oh, listen, he's in the house. Oh, listen, you might have one sick and down and out. Oh, listen, I know the healer. I know the one that can bring about a healing of the body. I know the one. Just get them to Jesus. Just get them to him. He'll take care of it. Oh, listen, they might be possessed and with demons of narcotics and drugs and whatever you want to put that demon in there as. My friend, I know the one that can take care of it all. I know the one that can rid it all if they just come to Jesus. You just get them here. God has a way of taking care of it, just as he had the authority to rebuke the demon that was in this man. It goes on to say in verse 27, and they were all amazed insomuch that they had questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits that they do obey him. And immediately the fame spread abroad throughout all the region around about Galilee. Oh, listen to me. Are we spreading the name of Jesus around? Are we making his name spread abroad? Are we witnessing the folks? Are we telling them about the love of God? The power that God has, the authority that he has to change lives. Jesus as a prophet taught truth throughout his life. Taught truth, my friend. His truth is here. His truth is in the Word. What about you and me? Are we exhibiting truth through God's Word? Oh, when we hear the Word of God presented, how do we respond? When we hear the Word of God presented, what do we do with it? What's the message that we apply? Oh, listen, Jesus, as a priest, as a prophet, a priest, and a king, my friend, no other ever come like him. No other ever had the authority and the power like God did. As I said, as they come forward and start to play, as I said, my friend, listen, I don't know what storms are in your life or what battles are raging or how deep the waves are or how boisterous the wind is. My friend, understand that Jesus wants to be a calm in your life. He wants to bring a calm about your life, my friend, and a peace about your life. Oh, listen to me, my friend, it's time that we spread Jesus' name abroad. It's time that we let somebody know that Jesus is in the house. Oh, I can tell you, he's not in the world. I can tell you the world has turned their back on him as a whole. Across the world, my friend, we are running as quick as we can away from Jesus. But it doesn't change the fact, as a born-again child of God, that Jesus is still in the house. Amen.